Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire, and with trades, and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire, and with trades, and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
You know, I have not been obnoxious this year about my football team because I don't believe the Patriots are any good this year. I said they were going to miss the playoffs before the start of the season. So I'm realistic when it comes to my own team. But Brian McFadden, ever since we had him on at the draft, and he was great in person, always love when we have BMAC on, he's been making bets with me, like, left and right. And at some point during the summer, he bet me a steak dinner that the Steelers would make the playoffs this year. And yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers went up against my New England Patriots. But that's not really where we start. Because on Saturday, I was at the gym. I was on the elliptical. Just getting a little workout in. And I see that my dear friend Brian McFadden is at the Penn State-Auburn game, working for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, and he's doing a little Instagram Live. So I jump into Instagram Live, and I just make a nice comment. Hey, go Noles. Way to go, Florida State. Nice job for Brian McFadden's alma mater. And the next thing I hear from Brian on that Instagram Live is, text me. I can't wait to see the Steelers kick the crap out of the Patriots. And he was just running his mouth. Well, yesterday, I saw the game. And the Patriots won 17-14. And now joining us is the 2-time Super Bowl champion, the CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ superstar, Bryant McFadden. Bryant, how are you?
You really enjoyed that, didn't you?
Oh, it was wonderful. I could not have Mitch Trubisky beat my football team yesterday. That would be brutal for me.
No, I'm talking about you really enjoyed the intro you just gave me, huh? That really made you feel good, huh?
I thought it went pretty well.
And, oh, but Zach, I must correct you. Our steak dinner bet was about the Steelers and the Patriots. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was about which team would get to the playoffs first.
No. We have two bets, two steak dinner bets, and I have the audio to back it up. The first one at the draft was you said the Steelers would win a Super Bowl again before the Patriots.
Yeah, I did. I remember that.
And then This summer you joined me. And when I was calling him Mitch Trubisky, you did not like that. And you said, regardless of who the quarterback is, the Steelers will make the playoffs. And you then said you'd put another steak dinner on that one. So we got two steak dinner bets.
Okay. Well, I stand by it.
Look at you trying to get out of this bet now and weasel your way out of this bet. I see you. I know what you cornerbacks do. All you guys do is talk crap and you don't back it up.
I stand by it. But there's a lot of football left to be played. But good win to you and your ball club yesterday, to the Pats. Good win.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know how many more victories are going to be this season, so I'm going to treasure each and every one of them. I got to ask you about your Steelers. You know how I feel about Mitch Trubisky. I know they're not going to start Kenny Pickett on a short week, but I see the Jets there in week 4. I know you got to see how this game plays out on Thursday, but are you ready? I know the fans seem ready to get the Kenny Pickett era underway.
I mean, clearly, man, in totality, the entire offense has been disappointing. It's been a hard watch. I mean, wow, it's tough watching our offense, even going back to week 1. I mean, we barely beat Cincinnati with 7 sacks, 4 interceptions, and a defensive touchdown. When you put up those type of numbers from the defensive side, that should be a blowout. But because of our offense being so stagnant, we struggled to win that ball game, and it finally caught up to us last week against the Patriots. So I'll say this. If we see struggles offensively from the Pittsburgh Steelers and – if we see offensive struggles in a loss, I think Kenny Pickett probably will be the starter against the Jets.
For Najee Harris, I know he was dealing with that foot injury. Is there something more, though, there? Because I'm a big fan of Najee Harris, and he just doesn't look right as we currently look at the Steelers' offense.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just about the foot injury. Remember, he sustained that during training camp, sat down a little bit, and then re-injured that injury, re-aggravated, I'll say, week one against Cincinnati. So, you know, your lower extremity is extremely important for a running back. You know what I mean? So not having all of that in 100% health direction is going to be tough. So I think it's just a matter of time for him trying to get healthy. It's going to be hard to do that during the season. But we know what type of player he is when he's healthy. Clearly, I don't think he's healthy.
Brian McFadden here with us. Well, the good news for your team yesterday, everyone in the AFC North also lost, and in some devastating ways. That Browns-Jets game, the Jets never win a game like that. I was just amazed at how that ended on out. 13-point lead with under 2 minutes to go, and the Jets find a way to get a victory.
That's unbelievable. That's a horrible loss by the Cleveland Browns. And if Nick Chubb don't score that last touchdown, rushing touchdown, it's safe to say the Jets don't even get a chance to put the offense on the football field because they had no timeouts. That was just a situational mistake by Chubb because he scored that touchdown. That's actually what the Jets needed. And we saw how everything else played out. But I'm happy for the Jets. I mean, let's keep it real. Like you said, Zach, usually they lose those type of ball games. But they finally found a way to win an ugly matchup. So that's definitely, you know, positive steps for them compared to what we've seen in years past.
Yeah, I haven't been irate about Chubb scoring the touchdown. I hear what you're saying. I know they missed the extra point, too. But still, you're up 13 with 2 minutes to go against an inferior football team. You got to win that game.
You got to win, but let's keep it real. The Browns are not a real good team right now at the moment in the season. And you just don't want to give the opposing team an opportunity. If you fall down, they don't get an opportunity. And I understand based on the time on the clock, heck, we saw what Kansas City did with 13 seconds against Buffalo in the postseason a year ago. Anytime you have time on the clock, anything can happen.
Talking to Brian McFadden, when we get to the Ravens, are you more impressed with what the Dolphins did or more disappointed in Baltimore yesterday?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm more impressed with what the Dolphins did because, yes, the Ravens' defense has been a bit suspect so far this season, but they're still the Ravens' defense at home. You know what I mean? But seeing what, 28 points in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Zach, yeah.
They scored 28 points.
They outscored them 28-3.
Think about this. In one quarter, they scored 28 points. It's almost impossible to have enough possessions to score four touchdowns because it's not like you're just out there by yourself. You still have the opposing team's offense as well that's going to take time off the clock. So that was the most impressive thing in how fast they scored 28 points in one quarter.
If you were in a secondary room going up against the Dolphins this year, like how do you guard Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? We saw what they did yesterday. It was a video game out there.
It was a video game. And I think going against the Miami Dolphins, the best way to have success against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle is to make life miserable for Tua Tagovailoa. We didn't see that. He actually got in a rhythm. And I haven't seen Tua play with that type of confidence since his time in Alabama, when he was there at Alabama. I mean, when he was there, he played with, like, I know I'm that dude type style. And that's what we saw in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. His confidence was at an all-time high because he was so comfortable in the pocket. So I think when you look at the speed element that Waddle and Hill have, they're always going to have a matchup in their favor based on speed alone. But regardless of their success, it's hard for them to receive those big-time passes coming from the quarterback if the quarterback is being harassed and pressured.
Are the Dolphins going to make the playoffs this year, Brian McFadden?
Yes, yes, yes. Barring anything drastic happening with injuries to significant players, key players, no question, yes.
Brian McFadden here with us from CBS Sports HQ. The Bengals, after week one, I didn't say I was concerned. But this offensive line, we thought it couldn't get worse. I know they made all those investments this offseason. It takes time to gel. Joe Burrow's going to get killed out there.
Oh, my goodness. And that's the thing. They're supposed to be a better unit on the offensive line based on the moves they made to improve it. They have different personnel from what they had last year. And the problems are still there. So what we're seeing from their offensive line play is something we might see the entire year, because how can it get better? Like, is it a coaching thing? You know, if it's a coaching thing, that's one thing, but one would think the personnel is supposed to be better. So they have been one of the more disappointing teams in 2 weeks of play because of the same issues we saw last year is still there.
It's amazing how that team, with that bad of an offensive line last year, because you hear the cliche all the time, the game is won in the trenches, almost won the Super Bowl with that bad of an offensive line. It still blows my mind.
No question, and that's why we probably won't see that ever again. Think about this. They won the AFC Championship game surrendering 9 sacks. That's not supposed to happen. You know what I mean? So what we're seeing from teams that are playing against Cincinnati, rush, put pressure on the quarterback, you have success. Joe Mixon is not looking like Joe Mixon. We didn't see a Jamar Chase-like game. T. Higgins, all the big-time players they have on the offense hasn't really been able to live up to the billing because the quarterback is consistently running from his life.
Talking to Brian McFadden, here's my take on the whole Jimmy Garoppolo-Trey Lance thing. Obviously, the injury is awful. You never want to see anyone get hurt. For Jimmy G and the Niners of this year, I think it helps them win more football games, but still long-term, I don't think Jimmy G is going to be a guy that wins you a Super Bowl, and you're in this point where we still don't know what Trey Lance is going to be.
And I'll say this, Dak. I think with Jimmy G as their quarterback, they're a better team. I'm just keeping it real. The numbers back my statement. With Jimmy G as the starting quarterback for San Francisco, they win more games. They're more relevant. They're more competitive. The jury was still out on Trey Lance. Not saying he would not turn into a good quarterback, winning quarterback. We just didn't know. But look at the flow of the game when Jimmy G got into the ball game, right? Not fully prepared to be the starting quarterback. When he jumped into the saddle, man, that offense was moving. They were moving. So I agree with you. I'm not saying he's good enough to win them a Super Bowl, but he's good enough to get you a legit shot. And let's keep it real. They were a missed interception away last year in the postseason from advancing to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that fourth quarter just didn't go their way. You're absolutely right. Wrapping up with Brian McFadden. So the Raiders up 20-0 yesterday, and then the Cardinals win. Kyler Murray, I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. We know he's a good quarterback. But, man, that was a really impressive performance yesterday, especially with DeAndre Hopkins out. You're on the verge of going 0-2. And he was just Superman with how many times their back was up against the wall, and he found the way to come through.
No question. No question. Kudos to Kyler Murray for continuing to fight. Kudos for him, his ability to extend plays. You saw that two-point conversion where he felt like he just had 10 minutes. It's almost impossible to cover someone that long. So big respect, mad respect to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, but a total letdown for the Raiders.
If you were a player in the Broncos locker room, Brian McFadden, how would you view your head football coach, Nathaniel Hackett?
Oh, man. He standing on the sideline as a head coach, it seems to be a bit too much for him right now. That's how it looks to me. For the second week in a row, we saw some decision-making concerns, time management concerns, and just the flow of the offense looks horrible. It looks horrible. I mean, this offense, granted, luckily for them, they played against Davis Mills last week in Houston. Any other team, they lose. Any other team they play against, if they played against, they would be 0-2. But because of the team they played against and the quarterback they played against, they had enough to be able to win. But what I'm seeing right now, Nathaniel Hackett, out of all the first-year head coaches, he seems to be in a situation where the lights might be too bright for him right now.
And it'd be one thing if you had a bad first 2 weeks, but it's just become a mockery. I've never seen home fans chant down the play clock because they had no confidence that the coach was going to get the play in and they were going to get the ball snapped.
Yo, Zach, they were just trying to remind them. That's all. It was a friendly reminder because basically they're telling all of us they don't trust their head coach to be able to get the play in time for them to beat the play clock.
I'll tell you this. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm sitting back and saying I wouldn't mind coaching the Broncos next year, Brian McFadden.
I mean, Sean Payton might have a few options based on how things can work out throughout the course of this season. But you better believe one thing about Sean Payton. If he decides to return, he's going to a team that has an established quarterback. He's not in the business of trying to rebuild or create a guy. He wants a guy who's already ready and made to go and make things happen.
What is Russell Wilson at this point?
Russell Wilson at this point is not playing like a superstar. Right now, he's not. Now, is it mostly because of the new offense, not having a rhythm, the chemistry is not there? Remember, he didn't play at all in the preseason. But what we're seeing from Russell is not what we thought we would see, especially with the pass catches of, you know, Sutton, Judy. You know, he got the coverage is in there. They have some players in place, but we're just not seeing what we thought we would see.
And last thing I'll ask you, I know the Bills are playing Tennessee right now. It's all tied up at 7 with 7:25 to go in the first half. You have a doubleheader tonight. I know you've been very optimistic about the Vikings, so have I, and I've also loved the Eagles to win this NFC East. How do you think that game plays on out in Philadelphia tonight? I think that's going to be a fun one.
No question. I think that's a preview of a potential playoff matchup, me personally, based on the expectations and just how good the rosters are for both sides. I think that could be a preview of a big-time playoff matchup. So the winner, definitely, this would be a statement game for whoever wins this ball game, statement to the entire NFL, like, we're here, we're a real deal. But I think, regardless, I think both teams definitely, granted, staying lucky when it comes to the health standpoint, Zach, both teams should get in the playoffs.
How would you try to guard Justin Jefferson? You just have to go to a place of worship and pray?
No question. Make sure you got two guys that are required to guard him. Justin Jefferson is the best way for me to explain Justin Jefferson. If Brandon Lloyd, for all you football historians out here who remember who Brandon Lloyd is, if Brandon Lloyd and Davante Adams had a baby, it would be Justin Jefferson.
Explain that. Brandon Lloyd was a heck of a player, but I've not heard someone use that to describe one of the better wide receivers in the league with Davante Adams.
Okay, so Davante Adams, we know what makes Davante Adams. His route running, the way he's able to create separation at the beginning of the route and the end of the route, the way he basically brings basketball to the football field. We see similar things with Justin Jefferson in his route running. And then the Brandon Lloyd comparison is basically the way he manipulates his body to confuse defenders while he's running his routes, not to mention his catch radius and the way he has total body control when he's making difficult catches. That's something that Brandon Lloyd did throughout his career. And I've heard two potential Hall of Fame corners come out and say Brandon Lloyd was probably their toughest cover. And Richard Sherman, who we had on the podcast with me and Pat P, All Things Covered, and Patrick Peterson has said that as well. Said those two guys who in their prime years were considered to be the GOAT at their positions, both said Brandon Lloyd is probably the toughest cover they've ever had. So that's the best way I can explain who Justin Jefferson is. If those two wide receivers had a baby, it would be Justin Jefferson.
Absolutely love that. All right, I'm a man that is fair. I'm a man of principle. I had to get on you for your Steelers. Now, go ahead. I love what Mike Norvell's doing this year so far with the Seminoles. Should be a little fun 3-4 week stretch here. Some good teams after Boston College.
Facts. But let's take it 1 week at a time. I'm happy from what I've seen from Florida State, especially looking at some of the adversities with injuries, the key players last week against Louisville. Friday night games have always been very, very difficult, weird-type matchups on a weird night. But seeing what they was able to do, you know, losing your star quarterback is always a big blow, but finding a way to win is huge for Norvell and his staff, and hopefully they can continue to add these wins.
Brian McFadden, you're the best. I'm sure I'll be talking to you throughout the season, and I can't wait until like January when the Steelers miss the playoffs and I get a steak dinner from you.
Nah, well, you'll be waiting for that for a while because we're going to the playoffs and I'll let you know. Oh, yeah, where are we going to get a steak at in New York? We're going to Luger's, right?
Yeah, we go to Peter Luger. I'll take you to the best. Don't worry.
No question.
Or excuse me, you'll take me to the best.
Hey, sounds like a plan.
There we go. Brian McFadden on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Absolutely love him. He is awesome. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do a little onsides, offside next.
Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app, podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team, NFL play-by-play, and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start, sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
And you can think around the auto parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 5 questions, 5 answers. What do you got for me right now, Hot Take Eki?
Zach, the theme of week 2 was blown opportunities and improbable comebacks. Down 1 point by 3 touchdowns, the Dolphins scored 28 points in the fourth quarter to beat the Ravens 42-38. The Raiders, they were dominating the Cardinals 20-0 at halftime before Arizona came back for a 29-23 overtime victory. And according to ESPN Stats and Info, teams leading by at least 13 points with less than 2 minutes left to go in the game had won 2,229 consecutive games, but down by 13 points or less than 2 minutes ago, the Jets scored 2 touchdowns in just a minute 22 to stun the Browns 31-30. Onsides or offsides, the Browns had the most brutal loss of week 2.
The reason why it's the Browns is you just look at the quality of opponent for starters. Down 20-0, it's not inconceivable that Kyler Murray gets you back in the game. Yes, I was not predicting the Miami Dolphins to come on back against the Ravens, but they do have a lot of quick, big play players in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I know Garrett Wilson looks like to be a very promising young wide receiver, but Joe Flacco's the quarterback. And you're up 13 points with a minute 22 to go. That's a 10 times out of 10. You give me that scenario, you win the game. And they lost the game. So, yeah, that's why. And it was up against the Jets, too. So, onsides.
A few teams with playoff expectations find themselves.
I think your voice is going.
Oh, I think it's gone.
See, this is where you got to understand now. When you're just producing, you could get away with it. But now you're hosting a very popular Colts podcast. I think you're still hosting the Weekend Overnights, even though it seems like you never show up for that show anyway. But you got a lot of work now. So you got to prioritize professionalism and personal time. Now, I'm not saying don't have the personal time, but going to Auburn and screaming Penn State, and we are 9,000 times, you got to learn how to cheer and root on your team without losing your voice.
I will say it didn't help, but my voice is lost even before I got down there. I've been sick for like the last week, been run down. So this is more of an illness-related injury, we'll say, to the voice, rather than just a cheering in the stands for what was a dominant win sort of.
I heard your voice
injury.
All throughout last week. I'm not saying it sounded great, but it did not sound this banged up. And it's been a week now, over
still
a week.
Still sick.
This is
well.
We are.
Oh, when you take over, take over the SEC. Gotta let them know who's there.
Yeah, come on. Auburn looks like a JV program right now.
They're not very good. They're not very good.
If you didn't beat them, that would be problematic.
Oh, agreed. Big time agreed.
But look at my guy, my BFF, that snake Manny Diaz, actually doing a decent job on the defensive side of the ball, holding James Franklin's hand.
Go figure. I never thought I'd be living in a world where now all of a sudden Manny Diaz elevated his way above James Franklin.
You got some young talent on that team.
Oh, they do. That's why the future is bright on fired up. Watch out. 2024, national title. See you there.
Oh, here we go. Jinx. Oh, I can't wait.
2024.
Now.
I'll see you there, buddy.
Okay. Wait, 2024?
Yes.
You know next year is 2023.
Yeah, I know.
So you're saying next year is
a developmental year. Okay. Some of them are playing. Not all of them are playing. You need to have Drew Aller on the field for a full season.
Okay. So 2024 national champions.
When the freshmen now are juniors, I'll see you there.
You just never stop with the takes. You just never stop.
The future is looking good. What do you